Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere, including Lion's Head and Lion's Head Light. 24-pack cans, $8.99. That's the special through Tuesday. Maybe you like wine coolers, waters, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Bags right there at the register. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Play-by-play call of the day. Controversy last night at TD Garden. What was an obvious penalty wasn't called, and the Blues then capitalized.
9:37 to go in the third period of Game 5. Blues clinging to a 1-0 lead. Kozak avoids a tripping penalty. Perron into the circle. Tried to center. They score! David Perron bounced it off the pad of Rask. And the St. Louis Blues take a 2-0 lead.
Award-winning writer Dick Girardi is with us courtesy of ExpressBet.com. Visit ExpressBet.com for a free Belmont Stakes guide and to wager on the races when you can't get to the track. DJ, welcome. Great to have you with us again.
Steve, what's happening?
Not much. It's another weekend and another big race. There's obviously, as we all know, there'll be no Triple Crown winner this year, but it's still an intriguing 10-horse field with no Bob Baffert horse in the race.
Yeah, it's very confusing. It's just not been Baffert's year. Had the 2-year-old champ Game Winner who ran pretty well in the Derby, and then he sat out the rest of it. Yeah, Bob has been kind of playing from behind because of all the weather problems at California in the winter, and he never caught up. And he didn't have the superstars he had, like Farrow at 15 and Justify last year. So Bob is out, but with Steve, we are in.
We are absolutely in, and one of those absolutely in has a chance to pull the Fleet Alex double, and that is War of Will. At 2-1, I think, right now. What do you think of... Now, you always like to look at the next 100 yards, couple hundred yards after a race as to whether a horse still has something in him. When you watched him at the Preakness, when you were there at Pimlico, did you see a horse that still had more in the tank?
I did not. I didn't like how War of Will finished. I thought he should have beaten that field, which was really weak, by more than a length and a quarter. I picked him that day. I was happy. Everything went perfectly. It couldn't have been a better situation. I don't think that situation repeats itself Saturday. So, yeah, I'm against War of Will in this race. Not because I don't think he's a neat horse, because he is. I mean, put a line through his Louisiana Derby when he missed the break. And I thought he ran well in Kentucky. I mean, we all know about all the issues on the far turn and earlier in the race. He's really, his dirt races are terrific, all of them. But he just looks to me like a horse, and he's the only one that's going to run all three, that maybe it's starting to catch up to him a little bit. We'll see. Maybe he's an iron horse. Maybe he is a Fleet Alex, and he can come back and do it again. But I got to see it.
What do you think of Tacitus?
I think he's a cinch. The only problem I have with Tacitus is that everybody likes him. He just kind of jumps off the page. I thought his race in the Derby was better than I thought it was going to be. I didn't particularly like him. He got way behind and way out of his comfort zone early. It took all kinds of mud in his face and just steadily got into the race, but really didn't have anywhere to run till the quarter pole. And then the final 400 yards, I thought he really leveled off. Game winner actually looked like he was going to pass him, and he held him off. Then he ran by improbable. And then to your point earlier, Steve, if you watch after the finish, this horse was rolling. I mean, just rolling, like the extra 440 yards from the Derby to the Belmont will be a good thing. Horses that have run pretty well in the Derby, sat the Preakness, come back in the Belmont, that's been really the ticket in this in the 2000s to win the race. Unless you have a superstar, a Triple Crown kind of a horse, those are the horses that have been winning, and that's Tacitus. In addition to that, he's by Tappet, who's had three of the last five Belmont winners. And the only two he didn't have was because there was a Triple Crown winner in the race. So I just think everything's pointing to Tacitus. I don't think he's going to get beat.
And this is, if I recall correctly, this is the pattern Belmont likes. Belmont likes some rest for his horses between races. This 5 weeks is that rest period.
100%. He never considered the Preakness. In fact, he didn't consider the Preakness for Country House, who, as you will recall, was put up in the Derby. He was actually standing on the track after the Derby when they were deciding what was going to happen with the DQ. And said, you know, we're not going to go to Pimlico. We're not coming back in 2 weeks. We'll bring that horse, this horse back into Belmont. He ran well. He ran second. Then, of course, when he won, in quotation marks, they had a, he said, well, look, I got to go. I got to run at the Preakness. I don't really want to, but I have to. And then, of course, the horse got sick. And he's been out of training. But now, you're right, Steve. This is Bill's play. He's a guy that likes 5, 6 to 7 weeks between races. And this is a horse who's never run a bad race. I mean, he's a really neat horse. He's not a star. But in a race at a mile and a half, when they're all going to be hitting the wall, this is the horse that's going to still become.
Right, exactly. And it's not like Belmont has not trained a Belmont winner. He trained, I believe, Drosselmeyer back in 2010. So he knows the pattern.
Yeah, and not only that, but he knows these long-distance races on the turf and the dirt. Those are his specialty. They have been since he got into the sport. And this horse is, I could make a case, this is the best bred horse in the modern history of the Triple Crown. He's by Tappet, who is the best sire in North America by far. And he's out of a mare called Close Hatches, who won 5 grade one races, including the Cotillion at Parks. She was a champion in her own right. This is her first foal. See, I mean, you can't get better bred. And you can't get better bred for the Belmont than Tacitus. He just looks like he's got to win the race.
And that includes being a close relative, I think, of Empire Maker, too. So, I mean, the breeding lines for this horse are outstanding.
Yeah, they're all over the place. Just like, I mean, look, even when he ran the Derby, I was thinking, I don't watch him. I don't like him today.
Yeah.
But, boy, he looks like a horse that should like the Belmont. And nothing about how he ran in the Derby suggests otherwise. And I'll tell you this, I don't even think he liked the sloppy track, and he ran fourth.
Right.
He looked very uncomfortable running in it. So the fact that he ran so well, was only beaten 3 1/4 lengths by Maximum Security. And all the clockers, everybody that's watched him train, and I've watched a couple of his workouts and a few of his gallops on video, it's just, he's just screaming bet on me, that's all. And I will.
Right. All right, but then there's got to be something that's off the board here that isn't quite like everybody's all excited about. Who gets that second spot for you?
Yeah, that's the hard part here. I'm going to try to beat War of Will. He could certainly be second. I mean, he's legit. He's a good horse, but that's going to pay nothing. The first horse I threw out was Everfast, the horse that ran second in the Preakness at 29-1. He was actually more like 100-1 on
right.
The exact as it tries. I think he just caught the live rail that day, and it was a conveyor belt, so you got to throw him out. I kind of like the 2 Pletcher horses, 6 Spinoff and 7, and 8 Intrepid Heart. Intrepid Heart is also by Tappet. He's got the bloodlines for this race. Spinoff, I think he put a line through his Derby. It looked like he hated the slop. He was horrible that day. But this is, Todd has won 3 Belmonts with the same move. Run Derby weekend, sit 5 weeks, come back in Belmont and win. And he's also barely missed with 2 others in the same circumstance here in the last 10 years. So I think either one of the Pletcher horses, Spinoff or Intrepid Heart, to me would be the most logical second. So some kind of maybe like a 10-6 and a 10-8.
Javier Castellano, I think Intrepid Heart's Johnny V.
Correct.
Javier Castellano, of course, will ride Spinoff. What does experience in a mile and a half mean aboard with a jockey in a race like this?
Yeah, I think it is important because it's an oddball distance. And it's always nice to have jockeys who ride regularly at Belmont Park because
right.
when they get to the far turn at a normal mile track, that's the place where you want to start moving. There's like 3/8 of a mile left. You see that everybody's starting to move in the Derby.
And that's not this track.
Right, you're exactly. There's 5/8 of a mile at that spot at Belmont when you head to the far turn. There's just a long way to go. So you have to kind of time your move a little better. So, yeah, it does help to have guys that ride there. And in this race, I mean, half the field has got jockeys that ride there on a regular basis. Lescano and Irad Ortiz and Castellano and Rosario and Velasquez and Jose Ortiz, who's going to ride Tassis. Right. They're all regulars at Belmont Park.
Yeah, because you've seen guys misjudge the turn at Belmont, and it's cost them the race.
Happened to Calvin Burrell on Mind That Bird in 2009. He made a huge move, but yeah, Calvin was riding like he was riding at Churchill Downs. It's a mile track, and the horse ran out of gas in the stretch.
Bourbon War is going to run as well, and Mike Smith is aboard. I don't think this has been a great run for him, but what are the pluses and minuses of Bourbon War?
Yeah, he's an interesting horse. His best race this year was in the Fountain of Youth. He finished second. But he got a perfect setup. They went really fast early, and they were collapsing. The horses up in front were collapsing. So he almost had to look good in that race. I thought he ran okay in the Florida Derby, 4th, beaten 7 by Maximum Security.
Right.
His Preakness was bad. I mean, he just didn't run.
He ran 8th.
Yeah, he just didn't. He did nothing. I mean, for some reason, Irad took him off the rail. I'm not sure what that was all about. The rail was really the place you wanted to be. He had blinkers. Now he's blinkers off. It looks to me, as I'm watching the source, they're searching. They don't know what to make of him.
Right.
He's another Tappet, so, I mean, you think of Belmont, but, yeah, I'm getting the sense they're not quite sure what to do with this horse. Look, he gets Mike, and he's as good as it gets, but Mike is much better on Cadillacs. This is not a Cadillac.
Any long shot that has any shot.
Maybe, and I stress maybe, Tax the 4. Didn't like his workout the other day. In fact, it was so bad the trainer thought about not running it.
That's bad.
That's a concern. In the Derby, he really had great position the whole way and just had nothing. And then the jockey did a great job, Junior Alvarado. He just eased him up in the stretch. So forget he got beat 15, but he wasn't that bad. I think the jockey did the right thing. But he only got beat a length and change to Tacitus in the Wood Memorial. So he's run some very, very good races, but I'm just not sure where he is right now. He's on the hottest jockey around. Irad Ortiz is ridiculous. He already won 150 races this year. Mm-hmm. So he's sitting on 300 as we're getting halfway through the season. But, yeah, I give him a chance, but he's not a horse I'm really comfortable with.
We've talked about this before, but what would it mean to the sport if they ran the Derby first weekend, Memorial Day weekend where it ran the Preakness, and the 4th of July they ran the Belmont?
It would mean more horses in the Preakness for sure. I mean, more good horses, like all the pretty good Derby horses that wait for the Belmont. They wouldn't have to do that anymore, so we'd get better field. They would be more true to the way horse racing is right now, where nobody runs their horses much more than a month apart at the top levels, other than the biggest part of the sport, which is Triple Crown, only for tradition. But, yeah, nobody runs horses back in 2 weeks anymore. It's very, very unusual. So, yeah, I think it would make sense. It's not going to happen, but it would make sense. It's not going to happen because I don't know the TV wants it to happen, and obviously they're an important factor in this. And I don't think the racetracks want it to happen either because people are locked into this. But, yeah, it would make tour-run races. It would make better races, but not happening.
When's the next time Maximum Security will run? Will it be at the Travers?
It's going to run at Monmouth Park in a race where he's stabled in a race called the Pegasus here in a couple of weeks. as a prep for the Haskell, where he will run in mid-July. And assuming he runs well there, I think we'll see him in the Travers after that.
Will you go to Monmouth to see him?
I will definitely go to Monmouth. I'm not sure I'll go for the first one. I will 100% go for the Haskell. Look, until proven otherwise, he's the best of the bunch.
Right.
He's undefeated. Technically, horse has never finished in front of him. The only way they beat him was to disqualify him. So, yeah, he's the horse at the moment. But so we'll see him at his home track. The first race, you can't lose. They'll be lucky to get three horses to run against him. Right. The Haskell, they'll get some better horses for that, but he's at his home track, and he's got speed, and it's that kind of racetrack. So, to me, he's going to be hard to beat till they get to the Travers, if everybody gets there, and I'm not sure they're going to beat him there either.
And that's also a race pattern that Jason Service likes, in terms of the rest and then run. That's actually a better pattern than the Triple Crown is.
Correct. It would have been interesting had he stayed up in the Derby. Obviously, he would have had to run at the Preakness. And I think Jason has, of the 500 winners, he says, say in the last 5 years, five of them won after 2 weeks. So he just doesn't do it. Very, right. Very unusual.
Very unusual. All right, so one more time, box it for us on Saturday. The Girardi box will say?
No need to box it, Steve. We'll just put the 10 on top. We'll make it 10, 6, 8, 9. That's Spinoff, Intrepid Heart, War of Will, in that order. Just, yeah, do not put the 10 anywhere but first. He's going to win the race.
Right. So 10, 6, Spinoff, Intrepid Heart, 8, and then 9 in the 4 spot, War of Will.
Yes, sir. Wrap it up, mark it up, go to the windows, bet it on Express Bet, take all the money.
And then say you are?
Gone.
Award-winning writer Dick Girardi joined us courtesy of ExpressBet.com, which was mentioned, by the way, in his last paragraph. ExpressBet.com has a free Belmont Stakes guide to wager on the races when you can't get to the track. Our thanks to ExpressBet.com. And Dick, as always, our thanks to you.
Thank you, Steve.
We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
Brewers Outlet, the beverage superstock superstores, ready for all of your warm weather activities. Camping, picnics, grilling, visit Brewers Outlet first. For microbrews, imports, domestic specialties, they got them. Grab some pickles at the Pickle Bar, Steve Jones's favorite place. Snacks, Brewers Outlet has that covered. Soda, sports drinks, check. Weekly specials, too. And there's lots of convenient parking. So get all the refreshments everyone will love for your next outdoor gathering at Brewers Outlet, the beverage superstock superstore, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Well, once again, you know who was listening intently to that segment.
Oh, he was probably cruising down County Line Road. Box it up. Lock it up. Stone cold.
No.
We'll have to...
I think he was looking at getting a reverse mortgage.
I didn't know he was that old.
There are two people I trust. I trust Dick Girardi and Tom Selleck.
With or without the Trans Am.
They're the two people I trust. Oh my goodness. Our thanks, by the way, to Brandon Lee Gouton for joining us on the show today. BleedingGreenNation.com and the Carson Wentz signing.
Yes, he will be back in our rotation more often. So
good.
Yep.
Good. He does a great job. He's an excellent guest.
Yep. It's like he never left us for 3 years.
And Bob Grove on the Stanley Cup final. He was leaning hard towards St. Louis when it started. So far, that has paid off. St. Louis has been the better team. And look, you just have to watch. When you're watching the game, and I know the penalty, the no call was horrendous. It's horrendous. But when you've watched the last two games, there have been segments that have lasted 2 minutes of actual clock time, 2 minutes of clock time, where the Blues have been swarming, 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 and the Bruins can't get the puck out of the zone. St. Louis has been the better team by a margin the last two games. Even though the games have been close, 4-2 and 2-1, territorially, the Blues have been the better team.
Well, that barn had a lot of energy last night when Chura was introduced in the starting lineup. Wow. That guy's got guts.
He does have guts, but you know what? The Bruins have to make a big decision with Chura. Look, either you go with six defensemen and he's one of them, or you go with six defensemen and he's not one of them. They can't keep playing with 11 forwards. They've got to play 12 forwards. They can't double shift Pastrnak. They've got to get David Backes back on the ice.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 and Hummel's Wharf. And the Friday Show, as always, brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Bevers Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Lion's Head and Lion's Head Light, by the way, $8.99. Now through Tuesday. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day in the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Sean, you may introduce our next guest, even though he does not probably need any introduction.
The most interesting man in New England, the one and only, we call him the king, hashtag what up, Kevin Jones.
What up, boys? What up? Did you see the hockey game?
I did. I watched all of it last night.
Yeah, we've been talking about that quite a bit.
Is that the worst call, no call you've ever seen?
Well, you know, the Saints-Rams game, of course, had the no call in it.
Yeah, that's right okay? there. That's right? right with it.
But the Saints still scored on the drive. Okay?
Yeah.
And then got the ball, and then the Rams came down and tied it. Then got the ball in overtime through the interception.
Now, this led Bruins went from going on a power play right, to being right. to for St. Louis is essentially on a power play because
exactly.
the guy just
this
laying
led
on
right
the
to
ice.
A goal. This led right to a goal. It cost them. This actually cost them the game, as opposed to the fantasy land of the Saints and Rams thing.
So, do you believe in conspiracy theories? I try not to, but boy. I can't. I think the NHL they told the referees, put your whistles away, let them play, and it doesn't matter what happens because we want a seven-game final. I would not be shocked if the Bruins won Game 6. You know, Game 7.
I've only believed in conspiracy theories once, right? And that was the first couple of years on this show, Sean.
Wait, I wasn't here at that point.
Gee, I wonder who and who might be conspiring.
That's an inside joke. What happened?
No, it's the suit. All right, so
well, don't worry. We'll have a press conference, I would think, between now and sometime Sunday night with Commissioner Bettman. We'll clear all this up,
but you know
he's
what?
So popular. So.
Oh yeah, no, God. He walks out on the ice. It's Boo Fest 2019.
It doesn't matter where he goes. He's just booed.
Seattle's getting an expansion team. The first time he walks on the ice there, they'll boo him.
Yeah, there you go.
He is. And he hasn't even done anything to him yet except give him a franchise. No. They'll boo him.
I was just and stunned. Disbelief. I was like, he's right in front of the referee. I mean, the guy's hurt. He's in concussion protocol now.
Of course, I guess he is.
The NHL is going to find the other guy and sit him down. Yeah, he was heading towards the penalty box. I don't know.
It was awful.
And they have the gall to review it, you know? It's like, what are you reviewing? You know, they can review offsides, but they can't review it's got a name. What's it called when you scoop the guy's both legs out?
Tripping.
Huh?
Tripping.
No, it's not tripping. It's a weird name, and they were using it on the radio today, that it was a clear squash or something like that. In other words, he took both legs out, and the guy was airborne, you know?
It was as obvious gets, but we are seeing an unfortunate pattern that's got to somehow be cleared up in officiating. College basketball officiating has struggled. College football officiating has struggled. NFL officiating has struggled. And this is now the third or fourth major blown call in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Well, did you see right after that? Now, I don't. I know hockey pretty good, but what's his name? I'm horrible with names. The guy who skated down the ice and pancaked the guy from St. Louis, the defenseman.
Torrey Krug.
Torrey Krug. He gets high-sticked right across the face.
Yeah.
But he still had the wherewithal to pass the puck. And they said the Bruins are on. In other words, Rask skated for the bench.
Right.
And then
the
Bruins scored.
Right.
But because they scored, they don't get the penalty?
That's always been the rule.
Okay. I thought they just missed that call, too.
No. That's always been the rule.
But because they scored, it didn't matter.
It was a delayed penalty.
Okay. So they didn't call that one.
So in other words, what happened was, since he went to the bench, and they've got the extra skater out there, which means the only way the Blues can score is if the Bruins put it into their own net. Because the second St. Louis touches it, that's it. There's a penalty.
So the Bruins got the goal plus the penalty.
No, the Bruins are now 6-on-5.
I just thought that the Bruins would get the penalty too. That's all.
Right.
I know all the other rules.
All they do is essentially give you an extended power play.
Right. Okay. I thought because they scored, the penalty still had to be served.
No, that was called right. That was correct.
Yeah. Okay. But I have that. It just ruined a good game. I hate seeing these games decided that way. But then on the other foot, I'm telling you, Game two, I think it was, of the NBA Finals, I got on my bike, and I know it was a replay the next morning, but I'm on my little exercise bike. At 5:30, there's like 2 minutes left in the game. I finished my ride at 6 o'clock. The game still wasn't over. I'm like, are you kidding me? A half an hour to play a minute. And it wasn't because they were just staging it because it was a replay of the game. They looked at every single call.
I know.
Every possession, they go down the court, shoot something, someone step out of bounds, they go to the video and rewatch the play for 5 minutes. If you're a player, how do you play? How do you get any rhythm whatsoever? You're constantly just standing around watching the referees a half an hour to play 2 minutes. I just like,
well, you know,
destroying your own product.
I mean, replay is a useful tool, but it's getting to the point where I've almost had it with a replay.
Yeah, because it's destroying the game. I mean, it's still
taking,
entertainment, you know? We want to do all this crap, but it's still entertainment. And when you take the entertainment value away, it's no longer feasible to me. You can't watch it. Hockey's the only one that the game just moves. That game moves all the time, and the rest of them, they've destroyed their own product, and hockey looks like they're going to be on their way to doing the same thing. But at least hockey, when they drop that puck, I mean, it is just action from minute 20 to minute 0-1. It's action. They take a 10-minute break, and then boom, they're right back at it again. And if they replay something, it's quick. So basketball and baseball and football, it's just like watching paint dry. You're like, oh my God, you know? You end up turning the channel and find something else to watch.
Well, what they're doing is they're taking away the flow, but they're also taking away the emotion of the crowd.
Yeah.
Crowds don't know when to cheer anymore. Oh, hey, touchdown. I got to check
it out. Yeah, and it's the same in hockey. They score a goal, they have to review it. So you got to sit and wait, you know. Was it really a goal or wasn't it really a goal? I don't know. We'll go to New York and find out. Well, all right. I got to take a crap. We'll see you later. It's like, you're like, hey, this is getting, like, boring, so. But hockey hasn't reached that point yet. It's a great series, but
I can't help
feeling when they put the whistles away like that they're told to put the whistle away. If St. Louis is winning that game, put your whistle away. Let them knock them around a little bit. I don't know how you don't make that call when the referee was standing right there. Was caught on television because the puck was right next to the guy. So,
yeah.
I presume they're watching the puck, right? You know?
So. Yeah.
Anyway, what's up there? Good
here?
Stuff.
Hmm?
Are you doing baseball?
Starting next Friday, so a week from today will be the first game.
Good.
Yeah.
Boy, how about the Kansas City Royals? It's like a single-A baseball team.
Yeah, they just drafted one of the Penn State pitchers in round 6, Dante Biasi.
Really good.
Yeah, he just got picked.
Oh, he's got a shot with a team like that. You know,
it's amazing how they've gone from back-to-back World Series winning one of them to now
Team. I watched them when they were playing. The Yankees were playing them. I was like, oh my goodness. I mean, God bless them. They're out there doing their best, but they just don't have a talent level to match. It's not even close. And I don't want to criticize them like that. They're trying real hard. They just don't have the talent level to compete.
No, they don't.
And there's nobody in their stands and whatever.
Well, but that is an issue, though. And you're talking about nobody in the stands.
Oh, it's a huge issue.
Baseball doesn't seem to care. Right. Well, the issue is this. Okay, fans will respond if they think your organization is trying to win. If they don't think your organization is trying to win, they stay home. And guess what?
Okay.
As the consumer, they're justified. Florida's a bad market.
How do you explain Tampa Bay? Tampa Bay's competitive every year. They can't.
Yeah, Florida's a bad market. It's just the whole state. It's a bad market.
The time it's always.
The Marlins have never drawn. Tampa Bay has never drawn. You know, some places are just a bad market.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, and that's the way it is.
I forgot. A guy had a really good reason of why Florida does not draw. It's great for minor league baseball, but it's horrible for professional baseball. And I forgot his reason. And it was a pretty sound reason. You know, it made a lot of sense. But they just do not draw. People do not, whether it's too hot there or, I don't know, they don't really have nice stadiums.
No. Well, the Marlins ballpark is brand new.
Colorful and new, yeah. But
yeah, it's brand new, and it's on the site where the old Orange Bowl used to be. They tore the Orange Bowl down. They built this. Where the Rays play in St. Petersburg?
Yeah.
That's not a great situation.
Pretty bad, huh?
Yeah, it's not great. But, you know, they have a good team.
No, a very good team.
And the fans, in fact, usually it's one of those things, hey, the Yankees are in town. And two-thirds of the crowd is for the Yankees. Yeah, the Red Sox are in town. Two-thirds of the crowd is for the Red Sox.
Well, like I told you a couple weeks ago, even Nat's not drawing anymore.
Right.
You know, the Yankees and Red Sox, you're right. The Yankees and Red Sox would always draw big in these places with their own fans, and that's not happening right anymore. I mean, when the Red Sox played the Orioles, by gosh, there couldn't have been 2,000 people at the game.
Exactly.
I've never seen the Red Sox play in front of an audience that small in years. And I tell you, it's just the 2000s that the Red Sox started drawing like that. They'll show Roger Clemens striking out the 20 guys.
Oh, yeah, there's nobody in the seats.
There was only 15,000 people there that night.
Oh, when Ted Williams hit the home run in his last at-bat, there were 10,000 people there.
Yeah, they didn't draw for years. I mean, people think they always drew. They never built a bigger stadium because they couldn't fill it anyway.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah, and they never talk about that. But Roger Clemens struck out 20 people, and there was 14,500 people in the stadium.
That was one of the today.
It was a beautiful night. It was nothing.
Well, that was the night the Celtics were playing.
That wouldn't matter today at all.
In the playoffs, and that was where the concentration was. It wasn't on the Red Sox.
Yeah. Well, today, it's the biggest show in town, even bigger than the Bruins. When the Red Sox play, it takes over everything.
Yeah. Well, then there's the next part, like in Pittsburgh. And I'm not really... I don't like being critical of the Pirates, because I mean, Frank Coonley, I consider him a friend. But the perception among their fans is they don't go for it. And guess what?
Right.
They're not drawing.
Yeah.
I mean, and they're hanging in there as a 500 team, but the fans are like, eh.
Yeah. And it's tough to play in a city where you've got a team like the Steelers or the Penguins that have had great success. So they want a winner. That's it. They don't want to watch mediocrity. They want a winner. So
right.
That explains the Knicks. Jeez. Hey, Bryce Harper's still batting in the 240s?
Yeah, but he's driving in runs.
That's good. Are they caring for him, or are they giving him a hard time?
Sean, they still love him, right?
Oh, I think so. I think it's turned around.
As long as he's producing, you know, that's all you care about.
He plays hard.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one thing about Bryce Harper you cannot dispute. He plays hard.
That's big, and he cares. I mean, he wants to win.
Yes, he does. No, it's
as a fan, you'll take that, you know? I mean,
yeah.
In baseball, if you're correct 30% of the time, you'll make it to the Hall of Fame. So it's a very tough game to play.
No, it's better than the weather forecasters. All right, so okay, you can be wrong that often and keep your job.
I know. Not me, that's for sure. Guys, I got so much friggin' work here, you can't make it up. I I don't know where it's all coming from, but I'm just about dead. It's killing me, but the work just keeps coming through the door.
That's good.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I have not seen this much work, and all the other companies are swamped with work, too. So, I don't got to do it right, though. So, I need a hip replacement.
I knew that. You told me that at breakfast.
Well, no, I hadn't got my shot yet when I saw you. Well, yeah, we knew we needed a hip replacement,
right.
But the cortisone shot didn't work. So.
Okay.
It didn't work at all. So
yeah.
Now we're working on getting a date to go under the knife.
Uh-oh. So maybe you can do the show groggy under anesthesia.
They're wheeling me in. What up? That'd be so funny. Why not? We've done it from the hospital before, you know.
The nurse
set up a station for me. It was pretty cool.
That's right.
And then they forgot they put me down there, and they couldn't find me.
Who's running this place?
Yeah.
It's like the episode of The Golden Girls when they left Sophia in the elevator.
God, I got the bill. Now, mind you, I was in the hospital 5 days. So it was 6 nights, 5 days, right? And it was just a matter of putting intravenous in me, and every 8 hours putting, what's that stuff, antibiotic through me to get rid of the infection. So that's really, I was pretty much, you know, maintenance free. They just brought me a meal. They gave me a TV I could put right in front of my face, which was wonderful. You know, I'm easy to please. $20,000.
Wow.
Yeah, so that show cost me $4,000.
Yes.
I'm looking at the bill. I'm like, you're kidding me, right? You can't. What did I get $4,000 of? Antibiotics?
It must be some antibiotic.
Well, no, and then I got the thing again, so it didn't work. Nothing right. Worked for me. What a mess. Whatever. So we'll find out if we got prostate cancer in another month and a half. So, see, everything is pending now. I got to wait on the prostate. I got the enlarged prostate thing, but they can't do a hip surgery if you've got cancer. So
right.
Kind of like in limbo right now.
So if the hip surgery happens, it may not be till sometime in August or toward the end of the summer.
Well, I would love to have it around. I can tough it out. I'd love to have it around the holidays so that all my customers are closed and I can just relax and, you know, heal. But only takes a week. Well, whatever. If we listen to my wife, I'll have it Thursday night.
That way, Claire. She knows. She knows what's good for you.
Yeah, I guess. Okay. Big tag sale tomorrow, yard sale. If you guys are in the area, stop by. We've got a lot of crap.
Hot deals.
Okay. See ya.
We'll talk to you Monday here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors and Brewers Outlet.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.